Do have your Bibles open at Luke 24. And you may want to be turning to the sermon, the booklet, the sheets. And we're going to spend a few minutes thinking about this, and we're going to sing again, and then we're going to spend a few more minutes thinking about it as well. Why don't I pray for us? Father God, we thank you for the great news that Easter is. And we pray that now as we look at your word, you'd help us to understand. You would give us greater certainty of the truth that it contains. And we pray that you would change our hearts, that we may greater love the risen King. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I reckon there are three or four responses that people have to the resurrection. And they go something like this. See if this fits with you. So for some, they'll say, resurrection, how do you know it's true? I mean, you know, Jesus raising, dead man, coming back to life. Maybe Jesus didn't really die. Maybe people hid the body. Maybe just people had dreams and visions, hallucinations. Maybe they just imagined he was alive when he wasn't really. They just saw things. I mean, how do you know it's really true? Maybe you're sitting there thinking, the second response, who cares? I mean, I'm only here out of respect for my parents or maybe my wife or my husband. You know, what difference does it make to my life? Yeah, Jesus is alive. So what? Who cares? Maybe you're sitting there going, well, you know what? We know this. This is just boring. You know, I've heard this story every year since I was born. I've heard the story. I read the story. I know the story. I'm just, it comes around every year. I know it's just boring. Or maybe, fourth response, actually, you're here and you're really excited because you know it's true and you just can't wait to look at it again because you're certain that this is the best news. Amen. And the Apostle Paul, he would agree with that last view. For Paul, he says the whole of the Christian faith rests on the resurrection being true. So he says in 1 Corinthians 15, he says this, listen up kids, he says if there is no resurrection, if it was made up, then the dead are not raised and Jesus is not alive, then this is what he says. He says your faith is futile, it's pointless. If Jesus isn't alive, then there is no point in us being here this morning. We might as well just go home. If Jesus isn't alive, there is no point in us meeting every Sunday. It's just a waste of time. And he goes on, this is what he says, he goes on. He says, and more than that, he says, we should be pitied. That for Christians, if Jesus isn't alive, people should just feel sorry for us because we're wasting our time. But he says, if it's true, then we have a glorious hope. We have something that we can really sing about and speak about and shout about. So how can we be certain that Jesus is alive? That what Luke wants us to be, that's what we've been seeing in our studies in the Luke's gospel, is that he wants us to be certain, he wants us to be absolutely convinced Jesus is alive. And so he's recorded for us the events of that first Easter Sunday. And here's a question for you now. What would you need to know, see, to be certain that Jesus is alive? And maybe the reason you're not certain is because you have a wrong view of the resurrection. And you wouldn't be alone. In fact, on that first Easter Sunday, many of the disciples had a wrong view. Let's have a look. Let's have a look at some of the wrong views of the resurrection. Have a look with me at Luke 24 and verses 13 through to verse 35. Look what happens. Verse 13, Luke records there were two followers. They're disciples of Jesus. They're not part of the 11. There were 12 disciples, remember, but Judas has gone off, betrayed, and now there's 11. They're not part of that 11, but they're followers of Jesus. And they're leaving Jerusalem, we're told, verse 13, presumably to return home to their village, Emmaus. And Luke writes, verse 14, they're talking with each other. They're talking about everything that has happened. What's happened? Well, Jesus' trial, Jesus' death, his crucifixion. They're talking about that. They're talking about how they buried him in a tomb. They're then talking about how presumably how the women went to the tomb early that morning and they found Jesus' body gone. And instead, we're told, verse 6, just have a look up, they saw angels who tell them Jesus has risen, who remind them of the women of what Jesus himself had taught in verse 7, that he must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, on the third day be raised again. And then the women go and tell the 11 and all the others, verse 9, which includes these two men. None of them believe the women, verse 11. See what it says? The words seem like nonsense, like a made-up story. And these two men, one called Cleopas and his friends, are walking along talking about all these things. Talking about what the women said, talking about the death, talking about the tomb. And as they walk along, look what happens. Verse 16. Jesus, verse 15, so Jesus joins them. But, verse 16, they're kept from recognizing them. And he asks them, he says, what are you discussing together as you walk along? And they're walking along, talking. What are you discussing? And they stand still. They're shocked. They can't believe it. What do you mean, what are we talking about? And they're sad. You know, they're downcast, we're told. And Cleopas asks him, he says, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened in these last few days? It's just been huge, you know, this big trial, these huge crowds, this big crucifixion. Are you the only one visiting who does not know? It's a great question to Jesus, isn't it? When you think about it, the one person who knows everything that had happened, what, you don't know? But don't forget, they don't know it's Jesus at this point. Jesus wanted to draw them out. He says to them, hey, what things? And here we begin to see their wrong view of the resurrection, their wrong understanding. I need a volunteer. One volunteer? No, brilliant. Just hold that up for me. Come stand up here. Brilliant. Stand there. Good man. And hold that up. Their first wrong view, they're denying. I hope you've got strong arms now. You're going to be there for a while. Denying. To deny something is to say, well, I don't really believe it happened. You know, so I say, I don't really believe that people walked on the moon. I deny it. Or I don't really believe that Tottenham Hotspurs are in the semi-final of the Champions League. I deny it. I keep trying to deny it. And Cleopas and his friend, they deny that Jesus is alive. Verse 17, see, they're sad. Why? Because they think Jesus is dead. They don't believe what the women said. They speak of Jesus, verse 19, as if he was dead still. They say he was a prophet, past tense. He was. He's no longer. Verse 24, that the tomb was empty, but the women didn't see Jesus. These two guys deny he's alive. They think Jesus is dead. Maybe you deny Jesus is alive. Maybe you think, well, no one could be raised from the dead. Dead people don't become alive. No way. Not unless he wasn't really dead in the first place. Maybe you thought he just fainted. Maybe he was on the cross, he fainted, they thought he was dead, they put him in a tomb. The Romans were really good at making sure people were dead. There's no one who really thinks he did not die. I mean, the women didn't. They went to the tomb, we prepared spices. They thought he was dead. The problem for these two disciples was not that they thought he wasn't dead, they believed he was. As far as they're concerned, he was dead. Verse 20, the chief priests, the rulers had crucified him. They denied he was alive. Second wrong view. Another volunteer? Josh. Disappointed. That side. That's it. Brilliant. Yeah, don't. It's fun on the fact, eh? But don't believe. Disappointed. Jesus wasn't quite what they'd hoped for. Look at verse 21 with me. Kids, have a look. Verse 21. See what they said? They had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. That is, they had hoped that Jesus was going to come and be a big military king who was going to kick out the Romans, defeat them all, win back the land for Israel, everything would be okay, the Jews would be ruling, the king would be in place, all good. And instead, he's dead. It wasn't what they hoped for. They're disappointed. Maybe that's you. Maybe you're a little disappointed in Jesus. You know, I mean, who wants to follow a God who sends his son to die? He can't even stand up to the Romans. He can't even defend his son. He sounds a little weak. What's the point of following a God like that? Or maybe you're disappointed because you prayed, you've asked God for things, you're hoping, you're expecting certain things to happen. They haven't quite worked out how you wanted. You're disappointed. God's not quite what you'd hoped for. Third wrong view. Next volunteer. Third wrong view, doubting. They doubted what Jesus had taught them. Have a look at end of verse 21. Nudge your parents, make sure they can see it as well. See what it says? What is more, on the third day, it is the third day since all this took place. It's the third day. What does that matter? Because Jesus had taught them three times that he'd be crucified, and then on the third day he'd be raised again. But they're in doubt that what he has taught them. In fact, they go and make it clear that they're skeptical, verse 22. See, in addition, they say some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. But they came and told us they'd seen a vision of angels who said he was alive, but they don't believe the women. They don't believe what the angels have said. And what do the angels say? Look at verse 6. He's not here, he's risen. Remember how he told you the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. But Cleopas and his mate, they're not just doubting what the women said, they're doubting what Jesus has said. It's Jesus, it's his words. That's what he told you, and they doubt. Maybe you doubt Jesus' words. Doubt what the Bible reveals, what it says. Maybe think it's all made up. It's a nice story. The dead people don't come back to life, even if they say they do. You doubt. Three wrong views of the resurrection. They deny, they disappoint, and they doubt. But we're going to sing in just a moment. Before we do, I want us just to have a look at one little thing. Jump down with me to verse 31. And see how their denial that Jesus was alive, turn it around for me, Noah, becomes acceptance. See verse 31, they recognize him. Verse 34, they tell all the others the Lord has risen. Their disappointment then becomes excitement. They're excited. They run back to Jerusalem. They gather all the disciples. They can barely contain themselves. They're so excited. And their doubt becomes certain. Verse 34, it is true. The Lord has risen. And the question is, how do they go from being denying, disappointed, and doubting to accepting, excited, and certain, believing, having a right view of the resurrection? Well, we're going to think about that in just a moment, but we're going to sing now before we do. In the tomb, so cold they laid him. Another song that teaches and reminds us of the great resurrection story. Thanks, guys. Good job. Do be seated. Do have your Bibles back open in Luke 24. And we're going to start to think about what changed? What meant that that man, Cleopas and his friend, changed from denying, being disappointed, doubting, wrong view of the resurrection, to suddenly accepting, being excited, being certain, believing, having a right view of the resurrection? What happened? What changed? How do they go from that wrong view to a right view? Well, let me show you. If I showed you this picture, can you see up here? Would you like to go on holiday there? No? You sure? What about if I showed you all of it? No. predictable. Would you still like to go there on holiday? Yeah. Yeah, you can have a small view or you can have a all view. If you see the all view, what about this? Would you like, what about this? Would you want, what night that for a present? Ah, no, you don't know. Are you sure? It's yellow. No? Well, what about if you had an all view of it? If you could see it all. Oh, hold it. Oh, there we go. Here it comes. You want that now? Okay. How about the last one? Would you want this player on your school team? Are you sure? It could be me. Yeah, you're still sure, even if it's me? Oh, thanks. What about him? Oh, Stevie Gerrard. Some, no, he's too old. See, a small view or an all view? See, when you only have a small view of things, it's really hard. But if you have an all view, you can see what it truly is. You have a greater understanding. And these two disciples, Cleopas and his mate, they had a small view of Jesus. They thought he was just another prophet. They tried to put him into some little box of what he should be like and what they'd hoped for him to be like. They'd kind of made up their own mind. They tried to make him what they wanted him to be. What they didn't have was a scripture all view. Do you like that? An all view of Jesus is a scriptural view of him. See, have a look at verse 25 to 27. It's on the screen. Know how many times the word all is used. Can you see how many times the word all used? Shout it out, don't be shy. Two, three. Hands up for three. It's not a trick question. It's the word A-L-L. It spells all. It's highlighted. How many times? Hands up if you think it's three. There we go. Wow, we're hard work this morning. See what it says? How foolish you are, how so hard to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Then verse 27, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus explained to them what was said in all the scriptures. When Jesus says Moses and all the prophets, he's referring to the whole of the Old Testament. It was the only scriptures that were available at this time. It was the only part of the Bible. So Jesus is saying in all of the Bible, you learn about me. To have an all view is to have a big view. If the disciples had had a big view of Jesus, a scriptural view of Jesus, they would have never have denied that he was not alive. They would have never have been disappointed. They would have never have doubted his words. And Jesus calls their view, look what he says, foolish. See the verse 25? How foolish you are. How slow of heart or slow to believe you are. Because did not the prophets say this would happen? And Jesus then explains to them from the scriptures, verse 27, Moses and all the prophets, the whole of the Old Testament, Jesus explained to them what was said in all the scriptures. He explained to them what really happened on the cross. So you have a look at verse 26. See what it says? Did not the Christ have to suffer? He, the Messiah, had to suffer. Why? Because it was the only way for God to save his people. Jesus had to die to take our punishment for our rejection of God. He had to die for all the times that we'd lived as if we were in charge and not God. There was no other way. He had to take the punishment, he says. He had to die. He had to suffer. But then he says, look, the end of verse 26, and then enter his glory. That is, Jesus is risen. He's alive. He's in heaven. He's ruling with God as king. His death was not the end. In other words, it worked. The punishment on the cross was paid. We can be friends with God once more. And Jesus is alive today, ruling as king. And Jesus says, all of this was foretold. It was all planned. The prophets saw it. It was written about hundreds of years before. None of it was out of control. It was all part of God's great big purpose to make us his friends.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And all this view of Jesus, this all view of Jesus begins to change people. Have a look at Cleopas and his mate. See, Cleopas' mate were denying, they were disappointed and doubting. And yet, have a look, verse 27. After looking at the scriptures with Jesus, verse 27, we saw that. They now arrive in Emmaus and they have a meal with Jesus, verse 30. Here they are. There's Emmaus, there's his mate, there's Jesus. They don't quite know it's Jesus at this point, and they're having a meal with him. And they recognize him when he breaks the bread. And then what happens? He disappears. And we're not told how they suddenly recognized him. We're not told why they suddenly saw who it was. But let me just suggest how it might have been. You see, as he broke the bread, it reminded him, not of communion, of the Lord's Supper, of that Last Supper. They weren't there for that. But it probably reminded them of how Jesus fed the 5,000. And in turn, it reminded them of Exodus 16, of how God provided bread and manna. In other words, it was a scripture all view. It's enacted before them, and it all pointed to Jesus and what he had done. And now they see, and maybe as he broke the bread, they saw the nail marks in his hands, and they recognized him as Savior. And they changed. See, what do they say happened to them next? Verse 32. Their hearts burnt within them. And they went from denying to accepting, disappointed to excited, doubting to certain. They were completely changed. See, they went from denying that Jesus was alive, from denying with sad faces to accepting that he was. They'd seen him. They'd walked with him. They'd talked with him. They'd recognized him. They were eyewitnesses to the fact. They could not deny it. And yet, in spite of the many eyewitness accounts we have of Jesus after his resurrection, people still deny today. So people come up with all sorts of reasons. So they suggest, so they go, well, maybe. Here's one they say. Maybe you heard this at school. Well, no, Jesus didn't really raise from the dead at all. No, what happened was that the body was stolen by the Jews. Well, as soon as the disciples started teaching Jesus was alive, wouldn't the Jews just have brought the body out and said, no, he's not alive. Look, here he is, his dead body, we got it. So they said, well, people go, well, no, maybe they say, well, maybe then, we're going to keep denying. Maybe the disciples stole the body. No, because many of them died because they said Jesus was alive. And would you die for something you know was a lie, that you kind of hidden the body and you're going to carry on pretending, no, Jesus is alive, and then you're going to die even knowing that it was made up? No, of course you wouldn't. Others say, well, maybe people imagined him being alive. You know, they dreamt it, they saw visions, hallucinated, in other words. But the Bible says over 500 people saw him. You can't all imagine the same thing. 500 people don't all have the same dream, do they? No, Jesus is alive. Here are two eyewitnesses. In fact, we're told, verse 34, Simon has also seen him. Cleopas, his mate, they touched him, they ate with him. They went and told all their friends, no, he's alive, it's true. Here's the thing, it's harder to prove he is dead than it is to accept he's alive. But these guys didn't just go from denying to accepting. They went from being disappointed to excited. Because now they understood why Jesus died and why he rose again. They realized that Jesus had come to do more than just redeem Israel. He'd come to do more than just kind of kick the Romans out, give them back their land. Jesus had come to save many. Jesus had come to give people eternal life. Jesus had come to bring people to a better land, heaven with him. And the resurrection proves Jesus has done it. Jesus has done all that he promised to do, all that the Bible foretold he would do. He has done it completely. So they were excited. And what looked like weakness and loss of control, his death, turns out to be the most gloriously significant, life-altering event in all of history. See, if Jesus is not alive, well, then his death really was just another Roman crucifixion. But if he is alive, then he is who he says he is. And he offers life with him for eternity. And that's something to be excited about. This is not something one could just say, who cares? Or, boring, I know it. Because this affects your life right now. It affects your life when you die. Because you can be excited about having life with Jesus forever, safe. You can be excited about knowing Jesus as your friend now and for all eternity. That's not boring. That's not a who cares. That's something you've got to think about. Because these guys went from being disappointed about who Jesus was to being really excited about who Jesus was. So will you be excited this Easter? Or will you remain disappointed and hopeless? As if nothing matters. Maybe you're disappointed because things have not worked out how you wanted them. Life's not quite gone the way you thought it would. The prayers you prayed that weren't quite answered the way you wanted them. But you see what Jesus is promising here? He's promising you something so much more. He's promising you life with him for eternity. See, will you be excited by that, or will you remain disappointed about the now? And then the disciples didn't stay doubting. They became certain. It's true, they say. See that, verse 34? It's true. The Lord has risen. And what do? They're so certain, they rush off and tell others. There's no doubt in their mind. They've seen Jesus. They'd had a scriptural view of Jesus. The scriptures had clearly revealed it to them. They'd clearly seen all Jesus had taught them. They could now see it was true. That what the Old Testament had foretold had come about. That what had been promised hundreds of years before had come true. What Jesus had told them weeks before had come true. What further evidence did they need? Especially when he was standing well and alive before them. They were absolutely certain. In fact, Luke, at the beginning of his book that we studied all those weeks and months ago, he wrote in Luke 1:1-4 that his purpose in writing his gospel was so that we could be certain of who Jesus is and why Jesus came. And the scriptures don't change, so we can be certain that what was taught in the Old Testament came true and is still true. That what Jesus taught and revealed to be true is still true. And Luke says he carefully investigated everything so that we can be certain that what is recorded for us is what happened, so that we can believe Jesus is alive, so we could put our trust in him, that we can be certain that we will be raised with him when we die, that we can be certain of having eternal life, that we can be certain that living for Jesus wholeheartedly now is the best way to live under the best King there is. Would you not want that? How are you this Easter morning? Denying, disappointed, doubting, or accepting, excited, certain? Everything. Amen.